Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. May we pray. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the joy and the anticipation of another Christmas. We acknowledge that we are frail children of dust, feeble and frail. Forgive us of our sins and remember them no more. Above all, we thank thee for that unspeakable gift, the babe of Bethlehem, our King and Lord. Open our hearts that this King may reign in our lives supremely and reign alone. We pray now for that peace, thy peace, which passes all understanding, which is so needful for these our times. And in the language of William Barclay, O God our Father, bless those for whom there is little joy at Christmas time. Bless those who are aged and alone, and who have no one left to remember them. Bless those who have lost dear ones, who at Christmas time are very conscious of the one who is not there. Bless those who are poor and who are hurt by their poverty, not for their own sakes, but for the sake of the gifts they long to give but cannot. Bless those who are ill and who must spend this time of joy in pain. Bless those who are far from home and far from friends, and who are lonely and homesick among strangers in a strange place. Bless those who feel their loneliness and their loss more keenly in this time of fellowship and joy. O God, our Father, send thy Spirit among men at this Christmas time. Make this time when those who have quarreled will be reconciled again. Make this time when those who have drifted apart will find each other again. Make this time when sons and daughters who have rebelliously left home will come back home again to find a welcome waiting for them. Grant that at this Christmas time, Jesus Christ may be born again within the hearts of each one of us. This we ask in the love's sake. Amen.
In the sixth chapter of the prophecy, of the ninth chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah, verses 6 and 7, we find these words: For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and the peace that shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, ever and forever. Thus the prophecy of Isaiah concerning this babe of Bethlehem. Then in the second chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, we find the fulfillment of this promise in these words: And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. This babe of Bethlehem stands to all of us as the very center of human history. If we were to pose the question as to who or what this babe of Bethlehem really was, certainly there is one answer that we could give. There are many, but one paramountly above all else, I believe. And this is the fact that this babe of Bethlehem stands before you and I and before all the world as the object of faith, the object of the faith of men. It was the object of faith, or he was the object of faith, for the apostles whom he chose to be with him when he grew to manhood. And as he began his public ministry, he gathered these men around him and he taught them the things that they would need to know when he left them, because he taught them from the very beginning that there would come a day when he would be with them no longer. They slowly began to see that this man, this stranger of Galilee, possessed something that was unique among men, something that they did not understand. And there were many questions posed by the apostles about him to his own face, until finally, to the question that was posed to him by Simon Peter, Christ revealed unto him and unto us as well his true identity. Not only was Christ the object of faith for the early apostles, he was also the object of faith for the early church, as is recorded for us in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. His name was used as the source of strength and power to perform the miracles that were performed, as are recorded therein. His name was used as an object to draw men to. And there were many men and women converted by a faith encounter with this man, Jesus of Nazareth, because of the witness borne of him by the apostles. And this same Christ stands today as the center of our faith, as the very hub about which the Church of Jesus Christ today rotates, regardless of what the denomination might be of that church. And I would submit to you that not only is this Jesus of Nazareth the object of our faith, but he is also the subject of that faith. Before he left the face of this earth, he left us with a promise, just as Isaiah the prophet before had given the promise of his coming. He left the promise that he would indeed return again.
May we join together in the selected reading, the second advent of Christ. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven.
Watch therefore, for we know not what hour your Lord doth come.
Therefore be ye also ready, For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God.
And the dead in Christ shall rise first. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men,
teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we shall live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world,
looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. May the Lord open our hearts and our minds to the understanding of this selection.
Reading from Titus, the second chapter, verses 11 through 13. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And reading from Luke, the 18th chapter, and verse 8. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?